بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters at home listening over the receiver, before we start tonight's short majlis, because it is getting late now, I thought just one important point we should just discuss, inshallah. Because it is raining, and we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us rain. And especially in our country, we require rain desperately. In some parts, there's drought. There hasn't been rain for some long time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us simple du'as. When it rains, and we all can read it, it's very easy. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Allahumma, we all know. The word sayyib with the sod. Sod, ya, ba. Sayyiban. So, means rain. Nafi'a, nafa'a. Beneficial. Oh Allah, grant us beneficial rain. A simple dua to make. Allahumma sayyiban Nafi'ah. Two words. Sayyiban is one word. Nafi'ah. But we're joining it. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'ah. Oh Allah, grant us beneficial rain. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Bukhari Sharif, the riwayat appears by Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. It appears a few different places in Bukhari Sharif, in other ahadith kitabs as well. But there's one particular incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the day of Jumu'ah. And he was on the minbar giving the khutbah. When suddenly, from the door in front of him, a man appeared. And he stood and he complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The gist of this, his complaint was, Halakatil mawashi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our livestock are all dying because of drought. There's no rain, there's no water. Also, the means of transport, the camels, they are dying, so we have got no means of transport. وَانْقَطَعَتِ السُّبُلُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَتَقَطَّعَتِ السُّبُلُ. So, he complained, he said, we've got no rain, we've got no water, people are suffering, children, the young babies, they are suffering, the animals are suffering. Ya Rasulullah, make dua to Allah to give us rain. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing on the minbar, Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna. Oh Allah, send down rain, send down rain. 3 times he said this. Sahaba say, Anas radiallahu anhu himself says, Wallah, he takes a qasam in Allah that there was no clouds before that in the sky at all. Clear sky. So there was no question of any rain coming down. But the moment Rasulullah made this dua, suddenly we see from behind, cloud hovering above us. And coming over Medina Sharif. And he said, then it began to pour. He said, for the entire week, 6 days consecutively, it poured and it poured and it poured so much that the next Jumu'ah, most of the Shura commentators say, the same man comes again. Why is Rasulullah giving khutbah? He stands again, Ya Rasulullah, our animals are dying now and the pathways, the roads are all becoming destroyed because of abundant rain now. So Rasulullah made dua, Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna, Allahumma alal akami wal zirabi wa manabiti shadari, o kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allah, send down the rain around us, not above us directly, which is going to cause nuqsan and harm to us. Send rain, alal akami wa zirabi, on the little mountains, the hilltops, and also wa awdiya, and in those valleys, and wa manabiti shajari, in places where trees are growing, in other words, farm areas, where there will be benefit for the people and no harm. There won't be any nuqsan. And Nabi Karim indicated with his finger, he said those clouds actually moved away. The rain stopped. Suddenly everything became back to normal. So this was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when there is rain and you are afraid now with this rain and there's so much of nuksan that could happen, then Allahumma, easy for us, hawa alayna wala alayna. Allah, around us, not directly above us, destroying our properties and our livestock, whatever it has. Wala alayna. So Allahumma hawa alayna wala alayna. Two words. Allahumma hawa alayna. How we say? Hawl. Hawl in Arabic. Hawl means around, surrounding. Ma hawl we say. So, Allahumma hawalina, around us, in those areas where the rain is going to be beneficial, advantages. Wala alina, not directly upon us. I thought I would just share this, because sometimes people are getting worried, it's rain and nuqsan, and it happens all the time. So, simple. The first dua, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'ah. Wallah, give us beneficial rain. Sufficient, you just said this. But when you see the rain is now becoming such that there is going to be nuqsan and disaster, then Allahumma hawalina wala alayna. Allahumma hawalina wala alayna. Then of course, after the rain subsides, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, bifadlika wa rahmatik. Oh Allah, it was through your fadl, your mercy, your kindness upon us. See, if you make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will send down rain, beneficial rain that will benefit us. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. This is a discourse, inshallah, as I said, it's going to be a short majlis. And alhamdulillah, we have been talking from long now, alhamdulillah, and we hear so many bayans on explanation of the spiritual purification, the reformation of the heart. And this is a gist of a talk which Hazrat Mawlana Salim Dorat Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Ali of UK Leicester, Islamic Dawah Academy, and he's been to a masjid last year in December when he came. Alhamdulillah, he's an excellent alim. Well-versed Quran, Hadith, he's running a huge Darul Uloom for boys, for girls, sterling work amongst the youth. He's got ta'alluq with our mashayikh. In fact, I told him, Hazrat, you are mahbubul ulama, because every alim you can think of, great senior people, all got special love for him and attention. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, had a lot of love for him. Haji Farooq Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, was his sheikh, had special liking for him. Also, Mullah Ludhiani Rahmatullah was his second sheikh, so he had a lot of muhabbat for him. Even in England and other parts of India, Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri, many of them have a lot of time and affection for him. Allah Ta'ala increase him in all the good work he is doing, and Allah Ta'ala make us also benefit from these discourses. So here in one of the talks he gave, either in Zambia or South Africa, this particular one, in which he quoted the same verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. And then he goes on to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world with two conditions. One is a physical condition and the other is a spiritual. So we have two conditions. A physical condition and a spiritual condition. This is a sign of old age now. I'm unable to even see. One is a physical condition and the other is a spiritual condition. From the two, the spiritual condition is more important. The spiritual condition. Because from the body and the soul, you have that jism, the body, and the ruh, the soul. The soul is the main component. Now he goes on to explain this. He says the soul function, S-O-L-E, the soul function of the body, the soul function of the jism, the body, is to bring the ruh, the soul, into this world. The body is a vehicle. It's just transporting the ruh through this world. So it's transporting it to the realm of the barzakh, the hereafter, after passing through this worldly life. So we all have these bodies, jism in Arabic, jismun, body. And we have this ruh. So two components, two things. We have this body and the ruh. But from the both, the main one is the ruh. If Allah Ta'ala willed, He could have brought the soul into this world without a body. Allah had every power. He would just given us souls without a body. So He could have brought the soul into this world without a body, but He has His own beautiful system. The system of Allah is absolutely amazing, unique. Allah Ta'ala can bring forth fruit without trees. But His system, He provides fruit through trees. Allah Ta'ala can give water without rain and wells, but He provides the water through rain, through wells, rivers and springs. This is the Nizam, the system of Allah Ta'ala, and He alone knows its wisdom. Then he goes on to say, the soul is the main component, the body is not the main part. That is why when a person passes away, his soul goes to Allah Ta'ala, body is buried in the qabr, in the ground, and after the soul is extracted, what do we say? The body is referred to as the corpse, the deceased, we say. The body, what time are they taking the body? What time they taking the janaza? For example, they say Ismail has passed away. Ismail Bai is gone, we say. But he's lying in front of us. Ismail is still lying there. So how has he passed away? How did he go anywhere? Since the soul is the main component, and the soul has left the body and gone to the hereafter, that is why people say Ismail has passed on. Ismail is gone. Nobody is prepared to call the body Ismail any longer, because it is not the main component. People will fear a king as long as his soul is in his body. When the soul departs, nobody fears him anymore. Whereas it is the same body, same face, same limbs. So what do we understand from this? That the soul is the main part. It takes support from the body to come into this world, from the realm of the souls, alim arwah, and it remains in this world for a fixed period of time, and then it is transported to alam barzakh hereafter. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. You have in this, you will remain and enjoy in this world for a fixed period. Allah Ta'ala tests His servants in that fixed period. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So Allah Ta'ala is testing us in this world. So it is not the body which becomes, it is not the body which becomes corrupt or pious through actions. It is only the soul which becomes corrupt or pious. Allah Ta'ala talks about, and now I'm explaining this, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The ha, what are we talking about? The soul. We're not talking about the body. So through pious actions, the soul becomes righteous. Through evil actions, the soul becomes corrupt. If a person's body is ugly, he has no hands, perhaps he's lame, he's blind, he's dumb, he's deaf, but his soul, his ruh, is healthy because of pious actions, then we will see such a person is successful, he's kamyab in both the worlds. However, if a person's body is very attractive, got blue eyes, very handsome, healthy, everything in his body is intact, perfect order, but due to evil actions, his soul, his ruh is sick, or it is dead, then he has nothing. He is unsuccessful. Hence, the soul is the main component. The body is just required to bring the soul into this world, to live in this world, and to convey it to the grave. An example of the body and the soul. As Maulana says, the body is like a jewelry box. A woman will appreciate this example more. Which serves as a safe, a container. In actual fact, the pearls and the diamonds are the soul. He gives another example. Understand to another example. This, inshallah, we can understand. If a person puts a check for £1,000, or £1,000, $1,000 in an envelope, he sends it to England. Then the main thing is what? The envelope or the check? The check, not the envelope. The envelope is carrying the check over. So if, as the Mona says, if the check could reach England without an envelope, nobody will purchase an envelope. But since the check cannot be sent without an envelope, one has to purchase an envelope. Now, once this envelope reaches England, what the person does, the recipient will remove the check from the envelope and he'll keep the check safely with him and he'll throw away, he'll discard the envelope. No matter how beautiful the envelope will be, maybe he might look at it, admire it, but then he tears it, throws it away, he'll throw it into the bin. It is possible that the check may not be as beautiful as the envelope and its paper may not be as expensive as the envelope's paper. But despite this, nobody keeps the envelope and throws away the check. The check gets a high place on top of the desk and the envelope goes into the bin on the floor. If the envelope gets damaged en route to England, it's not a real matter of concern. If sometimes you find some stain or some mark, yes, the check should not get damaged. However, the envelope is needed to convey the check to England safely. As long as the check does not reach its destination, it is necessary to protect the envelope. The moment the check reaches its destination, there no longer remains any need for the envelope. The soul, the ruh, has a similar relationship with the body. The soul is like a check, and the body is like the envelope. If the body gets destroyed, there's no real cause of concern. Yes, the soul should not become corrupt through sin and the filth of evil characteristics. As long as the soul does not reach its lofty destination, illiyin, it is necessary and compulsory to protect the body. We have two conditions and therefore two types of needs. Some needs relate to the physical body and some to the soul. As I mentioned in the beginning, there are two parts. One is the body, one is the soul. So in short, they are physical needs of the body. The body, to keep the body away from harmful things and to provide beneficial things for it. A snake is harmful to the body, so we keep the snake away from the body. Bread is beneficial for the body, so we will acquire bread. This is for the physical body. It is a great favor of Allah Ta'ala that He has personally made the arrangements for these two needs and placed two urges in every man. So one is we have to remove harmful things away from our body and to bring things that are beneficial close to ourselves. So Allah Ta'ala has created two urges within us to fulfill these two things. One urge is referred to as the carnal power and the other the power of anger. So one is shahwat, the other one is ghadab, ghussa. Very important. This we had discussed long time back. Very similar. So he says, through the blessing of the carnal power, the effort to acquire beneficial things for the body comes into existence. And through the blessing of the power of anger, harmful things are fended off. I will repeat this. He says, through the blessing of the carnal power, the shahwat that the person, Allah Ta'ala, puts into his body, through this, he's able to actually acquire beneficial things for the body. And through the blessing of power of anger, harmful things are fended off. And we'll see how we explain this. The carnal power refers to that power which desires, seeks, draws anything of benefit. Through this power, a person acquires anything he regards as beneficial for him. He knows that through the pound, the rand, the dollar, wealth, and riches, all his body's physical needs will be fulfilled. Thus the desire, natural desire Allah has put for wealth and riches is created and one makes effort for these things. This is the carnal power and it is not evil. If it was not for the carnal power, then how is man going to eat? You don't have any shahwat in you. So food is there in front of you. No desire to eat. The person has been completely deprived of any type of desire within him. You got all the food. So you're unable to eat. If you're unable to consume food, then you won't be able to maintain the physical body. So Hazrat Maulana says, if he does not eat, how will he live? If it wasn't for the carnal power, he would not drink water. If he does not drink water, how will he survive? If it is not for the carnal power, he would not have the desire to sleep. If he does not sleep, how will he live? So that's the first one, the carnal power Allah Ta'ala has given you. Then the second urge is the power of anger. The moment his gaze falls on something harmful, he becomes angry, concerned, and tries to keep away from the harm. This is also a great favor of Allah Ta'ala. If it is not the power of anger, you'll not be able to chase the thief away, nor protect your family, or your life, or your deen. The beauty of the power of anger is that whenever man perceives danger, he immediately becomes defensive and angry. This anger in itself is not evil, rather its incorrect use is evil. Like the incorrect use of the carnal power, that will be evil. The incorrect use of the anger, that is evil. Otherwise, these two things, these two urges Allah has created, is not evil in itself. So, Hazrat Maulana explained to us now, that the carnal power and the power of anger are two great ni'mats, bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The basis of aql, intellect, is balance between the carnal power and the power of anger. The carnal power and the power of anger, two great bounties, as they remain within the permissible limits. Very important. As long as they remain balanced within the limit, the soul will reach nafs-e mutma'inna, which we explained so many times, that level which is what Allah Ta'ala requires from us, wants from us, where a person has reached that very high, lofty status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it exceeds the limit, then the soul comes down to the level of nafs-e lawwama. And lawwama, we explain, that sometimes your nafs is rebuking you, scolding you because you're doing something wrong, and the other time it prompts you towards evil. But the mutmainna is a higher stage. That's what we're trying to aspire to achieve. So he says, if these two powers, anger and shahwat, surpass the limit, the soul becomes nafsi ammara. So if you continue and surpass it, exceed the limit one way, now it becomes ammara, where your soul is going to prompt you only to do evil. Now depending on how much these two powers move away from the balance, accordingly, there will be deficiency in the intellect, the aqal. So if these powers remain within the permissible limit, the intellect will be complete. And if it exceeds the limit, deficiency will come into the intellect. The further away these powers move from the limit, the more the deficiency of the intellect will increase. Now depending on how far the carnal power and the power of anger move away from the boundaries of moderation, the intellect will continue to become weaker, weaker and decrease. It is for this reason that the intellect of such people cannot comprehend if something is beneficial for the hereafter or harmful. And they blunder by giving preference to the world over the hereafter. When a person makes effort and brings this carnal power and power of anger within moderation, his aqal, his intellect becomes complete and he begins to make the correct decisions. Thus, from the example you understand whatever we mentioned. The person who yesterday was abandoning his salah because of the rand and the dollar, was busy at work, doing some deal, so he discarded his salah. So yesterday, that person who was abandoning his salah for the dollar, today he abandons the dollar for his salah. How this happens? This is because the moment these two powers, shahwat and ghadab, gradually become balanced. So what is going to happen automatically? The intellect simultaneously becomes complete. Now you'll be able to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is better for you for the hereafter, and what is better for you in this world. So when these two powers become completely balanced, there has to be a balance between these two powers. The intellect will also become totally complete, kamil. And you require a kamil intellect, kamil aqal, to be able to give you some direction in choosing what is correct from what is wrong. Thereafter, the intellect will guide one towards the righteous works only. So in essence, what we have discussed here is Allah Ta'ala has given us these two urges. There is the carnal power and the power of anger, and we explain why these two are ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is important, there must be a balance in these things. The moment you exceed your carnal power, you go beyond the limits, then automatically your aqal will become weak. But you bring that back into moderation, then your aqal will increase. Same thing with the power, anger. If it goes exceeds the limits, so now what's going to happen? Your aqal won't be right. So then you will become angry and you will give vent to your anger and you'll start abusing, oppressing people. Instead of using it correctly for that which is going to be beneficial and chasing a thief away or protecting your family from some harm, or a snake is coming and then you are smiling because your aqal has become deficient, because you exceeded the limit, now instead of doing the right thing, you do the wrong thing. All the Sahaba were just. As-Sahaba kulluhum adul. Why? He says when these powers, the power of anger and the power of the carnal power, there is a balance in it, and with it now your aqal is complete, then such a person is called just. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were like this. Therefore you find, yes, if they blundered, then immediately they will come back to that balance and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we had this few cases where a sahabi made a mistake and immediately he came back to tawbah. But if our aqal, intellect is naqis, incomplete, then we will do the wrong thing. And how the aqal becomes incomplete? Because we're exceeding the limits in this carnal power and the power of anger. And therefore we find ourselves, we're not just, it's the imbalance in us. Hazrat Maulana then explains, he says that Allah Ta'ala has given us these two powers for our benefit. The carnal desire is not evil on its own. If it was not for this carnal desire, how would children come into existence? A man gets married, woman gets married. There's no carnal desire at all. Zero. So what will they do? What's the purpose? Why they got married? They won't get any children. So for the existence of children, or for children coming into this world, the person has to have the shahwat. If children were not born, how would men exist in the world today? Yes, if the carnal desire transgresses its limit, this is evil. Similarly, anger is not going to be evil if it does not exceed its limit. As I want to see for all this, if these powers exceed the limit of moderation, a person becomes spiritually sick. Now he has to worry about acquiring treatment. If he has a minor physical ailment, treatment can take place at home through consulting a doctor. For major illnesses, the imbalance is gone off. What do with our car? It's an imbalance. You take it for balancing. Or a person has got imbalance, has got vertigo, Allah save us. He requires medication. So for major illnesses, he has to go to the hospital. In the same way for spiritual illnesses, there is a need for a doctor and sometimes a hospital. A spiritual mentor is the doctor for the spiritual sicknesses. One has to get treated under his supervision. And if the sickness is severe, then sometimes he has to go to the hospital and stay there. And therefore we have mashayikh, have khankas and places like that where the person now has to go there and get this ICU treatment, spiritual treatment. When a sick person diligently gets himself treated by an expert doctor, then if Allah Ta'ala wills, he will definitely become healthy. Once he has become healthy, then inshallah, he won't have to remain in the hospital. So likewise, he says, through this blessing of keeping in contact with the spiritual guide, he will remain under his supervision. And if he becomes ill again, he will be made aware of it so that the sheikh can turn his attention again towards this person for treatment. He says, in short, success and failure and good and evil revolve around these two powers. All the problems and corruption in this world are a result of these powers exceeding their limit. That's all. People commit oppression. They cheat. They take bribes because of this carnal power and the power of anger having moved away from their place. Now a person is sick, but there's no doctor, no medicine. How will he get better? A sick person needs both observation of the doctor as well as medication. Inshallah, I think next week we'll continue. I said short program is 9 o'clock. Inshallah, we'll explain next week. A healthy person should eat wholesome foods and abstain from poison. Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to understand. Simple explanation is given that we have these two powers Allah has created within us, but there must be a balance in these two urges that we have. And this will increase our aqal. And our aqal has to be kamil for us to be able to make the right decisions and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.